is Miriam Raftery, producer of the East County Magazine radio show. Today, we're bringing you something special, an original radio script titled Newsflash Spirits of the Centennial. The presentation commemorates the 100th anniversary of La Mesa, my hometown. Some things have changed a lot in the century since La Mesa became a city, and surprisingly, a lot of things are much the same. Taxes, border security, water shortages, women's rights, war, protesters occupying downtown. These are all recent headlines. And they were also issues back in 1911 and 1912 when La Mesa's dreams of cityhood began and citizens organized to make that dream come true. Now, as a news editor, I wondered what it was like to report the news back in those days. What was happening in La Mesa and our region? What were communications and transportation like? How tough was it to get news about major events nationally or around the world? Our journalism interns today find it mind-boggling to imagine digging out news stories with no internet, no smartphones, no Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter. Back in 1911, when our story opens, La Mesa had a telegraph, and phone service had just recently arrived. Automobiles were recent inventions. But no highways had yet been built to Arizona or points to the east. The railway didn't connect through to the east yet either, though La Mesa did have a train station for folks heading to San Diego or points north. So news editors still relied largely on old-fashioned word of mouth and first-hand experiences to gather news. For our Centennial Spirits presentation, we start by conjuring up the spirit of La Mesa's first newspaper editor, Wiley Magruder. Now, for those who think developers owning the media is something invented by Doug Manchester and the UT San Diego, think again. Wiley's father, a real estate developer, helped start up the La Mesa Scout newspaper back in 1907 and put his 16-year-old son, Wiley, in charge. The publisher and printer was Wiley's 15-year-old friend, Henry Oliver, who also appears in our production. By 1911, as our story opens, young Wiley, at the ripe old age of 20, had a thriving readership in the little town that was then known as La Mesa Springs, writing glowing descriptions of real estate opportunities and the town's attractions. But times were changing, and Wiley soon found himself amid some major breaking news stories. I hope you'll enjoy our presentation of Centennial Spirits Newsflash, presented by the East County Magazine Players with help from the Kronos Theater Group. So without further ado, we begin our presentation with the dateline of January 1911 in the office of the La Mesa Scout, where editor Wiley Magruder is hard at work typing up today's top news story.
Dateline, January 1911. With good social organizations, no saloons, no gambling dens, this community offers one of the finest places in the world for a happy home. Morning, Henry. What's new?
Big news. Father and I just returned from a motor trip to San Diego. A fellow there, Glenn Hammond Curtis, has made the first successful flight with a contraption he calls a seaplane. Right off Coronado.
Seaplane? What's it do? Fly under sea?
No, but it can land on the water. And there's more. Curtis announced he's going to start up a flying school called North Island Aviation Camp. And he's inviting the Army and the Navy to send officers there for free pilot training.
Crank up the presses. The Navy coming to San Diego. Now that's a mighty interesting news. Say, do you think it will have much impact on our region's economy? Dateline, April 1911.
Attention, young man.
Yes, sir, Colonel Fletcher. How are things going in that artist colony you and Mr. Gross, the Broadway director, started up on the Grossmont Knoll?
Did you have to call my roadway to the top of the mountain Freaky Fletcher's Fancy Flight?
Just trying to sell newspapers, sir. Is it true you've got a famous
Never mind, singer? Madam Hank. There are 1,200 U.S. Army troops outside marching right down Lookout Avenue into the heart of La Mesa Springs.
What?
Go look outside and see for yourself.
My God. gosh, there's a whole parade of officers. But what?
They're leading two infantry regiments armed with rifles and sidearms. They're here to protect East County from the rebel violence down in Mexico.
The Mexican Revolution. I heard some of the Mexican workers over at San Diego Consolidated Gas and Electric just headed off to join the revolutionaries.
The revolution started in Baja and it's spreading north. There's fighting in Tecate and even Tijuana. We can't risk that violence spreading across the border, so I arranged for those troops to come here and camp at Grossmont Pass, conduct some war games, and protect East County.
Good thing our town is in safe hands. Hats off to Colonel Ed Fletcher. Manuel, you look like you've been riding hard. Is something wrong out at the ranch in Steel Canyon?
See, there's trouble, but not at the ranch. Out on the railway. Mr. Steele, he wants me to tell you the news. The stagecoach driver coming from Yuma, he told us when he stopped to change his horse at the ranch. Heard it at the Campbell Stagecoach Station.
What happened?
One of the men working to build a rail line out in the Carrizo Gorge, he saw it all. Terrible.
Did those Mexican revolutionaries attack the rail line again?
Si, senor. Then they rounded up the work crew, took them all captive to fight with Pancho Villa, except one, who hid out in the rocks and got away. Gracias a Dios.
No wonder they're calling that line the Impossible Railway. Dateline, July
1911. Outside is terrible.
Nice music, Madam Hank.
Guten Tag.
Fire! Fire!
Where, Henry?
La Mesa Hotel at Lookout and Palm. The whole block of wooden buildings can go up.
Sorry, Mrs. Hank. Duty calls. I've got the fire to cover.
My, but it seems I have come at an inopportune time. Young man, Henry, the scout simply must write something about the exquisite buildings they're going to build in Balboa Park Canyon for the Panama California Exposition. Why, they remind me of the glorious opera houses of Europe.
Tell me more.
I traveled to San Diego to see the Paris Ballet. Shocking. Do you know their costumes bared their ankles?
Oh.
I visited a dear friend and attended the groundbreaking. We saw the drawings for Balboa Park. Yeah, magnificent. Spanish Revival architecture. Though they say the buildings are only temporary. They won't last long.
Well, you're back. What happened?
Our volunteer firefighters are heroes. They hauled the chemical wagon out and held the fire to just the hotel's office.
Thank goodness.
Fire is, and always will be, the greatest threat to our region. Dateline, August 1911.
Look, it's Helen Dwan, the movie director. What a fancy motor car he's driving, all decked out in those leather driving goggles. He best be careful, though, to not get that dandy scarf caught in the wheel spokes.
Morning, Mr. Dwan. Congratulations. I hear that today's the big day you're opening up the Flying A movie studio down the street.
That we are, young man. We've got us a studio and a lot for shooting, and there are great places for filming on locations. Lakeside, Acumba, all that wide-open countryside. Say, You should write something up on Bronco Billy here. He's one of our stars.
Howdy!
Yeehaw!
Pleased to meet you, Bronco.
Mr. Dwan, how did you get into making motion pictures?
Why, I had a desk job in Chicago. They sent me west to see why a film crew in Los Angeles hadn't sent any film for 2 weeks. Turns out their director was on a drunken bender. I recommended they disband, but the boss wired me back, "Congratulations, you're the new director." So I moved the whole crew here.
What brings you here today?
Casting call. Can you put something in that newspaper of yours saying we need extras for a Western coming up? Can you get me some real cowboys?
Of course.
And some saloon girls? Got any of those?
Afraid not. Best try the Stingray in San Diego for those.
And a sweet, innocent-looking young lady to play a rancher's daughter who wins the heart of...
Like her? That sweet little lady who just sashayed in here?
Why, she has the face of an angel. Young lady, I can make you a star.
Are you the man making moving pictures like the one showing in the vaudeville theater down the street? I fear it shall become a den of vice.
Ooh, good thing these are silent pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Miss, I do not own the opera house, though I have had my eye on showing our motion pictures there.
Mr. Dwan's a movie director, ma'am. He's looking for some rising stars.
Oh, my, I see. Mr. Magruder, would you kindly post an ad for our upcoming Temperance Society meeting? It's high time we do something about the evils of the demon drink.
If it wasn't for demon drink, I wouldn't have a career.
Dateline, late August, 1911. Morning, Mr. Park. How's the lumber business and the banking business?
Booming. Now here's some news for you.
Yeah?
A group of local businessmen and concerned citizens have formed the La Mesa Improvement Club to promote La Mesa as a fine place to live and work.
Nice. Now that should be good for the real estate business.
We're making plans for La Mesa to become a city.
Incorporate? Why?
We can't count on a steady water supply from the flume nowadays.
That's right. San Diego Flume got taken back by its English owners, foreign control. But then Fletcher and Murray bought the whole shebang and renamed it Cuyamaca Water Company. Well, they promised to live up to the contract requirements and provide water to East County customers.
All true. But now they're talking about selling water to the city of San Diego. We can't risk losing local control of our water supply.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we were a city, we could start up our own municipal water department.
Wise move, seems to me.
That's why we're getting ready to start a petition to put it on the ballot.
Do you think it will succeed?
Ah, now there's the problem. Some of these old ranchers out there, they're opposed to the idea. Reverend Hugh Marshall, he's leading the opposition, doesn't want his citrus grove taxed. So we've got to figure some way to get us a few more votes. Got any ideas?
Dateline, September, 1911.
Here comes trouble. Helen Stoddard looks like she's on the warpath.
The Scout needs to publish this! We, the members of the La Mesa Women's Club, join with our sisters in the Women's Christian Temperance Union. We are embarking on a barnstorming tour to win voting rights for women. We're taking our suffragist special automobile tour into the most rural parts of East County. And we are calling on La Mesa City Fathers to pass a resolution urging our state legislator to enact suffrage rights for the ladies of our state.
Votes? Why, that would mean half of La Mesa's population who can't vote now could cast a ballot.
Women deserve a voice. Why, if women had the vote, we could stop child labor, pass liquor laws, regulate the railroads and these so-called public utilities that are ripping up our streets with their gas line installations.
Mrs. Stoddard, you've convinced me. In fact, we're going to publish an editorial. All power of government originates from the people. Direct legislation will be a check upon dishonesty, fraud, and trickery in the legislature. The right of women to vote is as absolute as a man. Dateline, October 1911.
So, any word, Mr. Magruder, about the election?
It's official, Mrs. Stoddard. The news is just in from California's Secretary of State. It was a close race. Took 2 days to count all the ballots and certify them. By a 1,000-vote margin, the men of California have granted women the right to vote.
Yes! Thank you, young man, for that courageous editorial. No doubt it helped persuade our LaMesa civic leaders to support suffrage for women. I am so proud to live in such a progressive-minded town.
What do you have planned next?
Why, we're organizing a caravan. I have 40 members of the La Mesa Women's Club committed to join me in a journey to the county clerk's office to register to vote on October 19th. Why, just think. Now women can not only vote, we can run for office too. I hereby announce my candidacy for the U.S. Senate. In fact, I may even run for president someday. Why, I'm sure it won't be long until the American people elect a woman to serve in the White House.
What Pandora's box have I opened? Dateline, November 1911. We're here at a town meeting at the Opera House, where supporters and opponents of La Mesa declaring cityhood are circulating petitions for and against. And leading these supporters is Mr. Charles Parkman.
Are you ready for La Mesa to determine our own destiny?
Yes!
All right!
Are you ready to help La Mesa have the power to provide its own water supply?
Yes!
Govern our own schools that are overcrowded.
Yes. Yes.
So our children can have a proper public education.
Yes!
Good.
And on the other side, we have the Reverend Hugh Marshall working to rally his forces.
No new taxes!
No new taxes! No new taxes!
No new taxes!
No big government.
No big government. No big government.
We don't need cityhood for La Mesa.
Dateline, January 1912.
Morning, Mr. Magruder. I need to run an air to find a new boarder in our boarding house.
Pleased to oblige, Mrs. Fellows, and I surely did enjoy that Christmas dinner you served up, worth every penny of the 25 cents it cost.
Oh, thank you. Let's see what's in your newspaper here. My, cooking with gas costs $1.85 a month. I ought to look into buying one of those newfangled gas stoves. Now then, what's the latest on this move to make La Mesa city?
Well, that first petition didn't work out. Supporters got 70 signatures, including 20 women folk who exercised their new right to vote.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
But they forgot to publish their announcement, as the law requires.
Oh.
So last month, the county district attorney declared it null and void.
Oh.
Now, however, they've resubmitted their petition, this time with 97 signatures.
Huh.
The county board of supervisors is meeting today. Reckon we'll hear soon.
Oh.
Recruiter here. Yahoo! Today is a historic day for La Mesa. Supervisors have approved a citizens' incorporation petition and set February 7th as a special election day.
Oh, right!
Dateline, February 1912. Well, Henry, it's official. With 249 votes in favor and only 60 votes against, La Mesa has approved incorporation.
That's great news.
Today, 1 week after that historic election, city trustees have gathered together and elected Dr. Charles Sampson as the first mayor to preside over our fair city.
Dr. Sampson? Bet the good doctor was opposed to cityhood.
True, my friend, but politics make strange bedfellows. Dateline, March 1912. This week's national headlines. The U.S. Post Office has issued the first airmail postage stamp, 9 years after the first aeroplane lifted off at Kitty Hawk. Illusionist Harry Houdini made a miraculous escape from a water tank in New York Harbor. Former President Theodore Teddy Roosevelt has formed a new Bull Moose political party in hopes of taking back the White House.
Oh, can I help you, Colonel Fletcher?
I just came back from San Diego. Went there to pick up some more trees to plant up at Grossmont Colony. You won't believe what's happening downtown. Those labor agitators, the Wobblies.
International Workers of the World, IWW.
Anarchists and socialists. About 5,000 of them. Why, they're occupying the streets of downtown.
Unbelievable. What do they want?
They're protesting the city's new free speech ordinance, which actually outlaws speeches in public places around City Hall, though it clearly hasn't worked. The leader of the anarchists herself, Emma Goldman, showed up and gave a radical speech. Radical. I'm telling you, why, she not only demanded more rights for workers, she was openly advocating to legalize birth control for women.
Scandalous! Then what happened?
It got ugly. Some of the fine, upstanding citizens of San Diego abducted Miss Goldman's paramour, Ben Reitman, tarred and feathered that scoundrel, and branded IWW on his bare backside.
Oh, ouch, that must have hurt.
The anarchists fought back, and there was an all-out riot. Police used fire hoses on the rioters, and now the protesters are complaining about police brutality.
Thanks for the tip, Colonel Fletcher. Let's hope nothing like that ever happens in San Diego again.
Dateline, April 1912. The past of La Mesa has laid a strong foundation for the future.
Madam Schumann-Heinck, what's wrong?
Mein Gott, have you heard?
What's happened?
I just came from the telegraph office. A terrible tragedy. The British ocean liner, the Titanic, struck an iceberg and has sunk.
Oh, my.
My dear companion, Lady Astor, was on board along with her husband.
Oh.
I must learn their fates.
That's terrible.
I'll call.
Wiley, you said it would be my turn to cover the next big story. I'll call New York on your new telephone.
Operator.
New York Times.
News desk.
May I speak with the reporter, please, miss?
Sir, I am a reporter.
Women in the newsroom? My, times are changing. Henry Oliver here, a reporter in California. Any word on survivors of the Titanic disaster?
Oh, it was a terrible story. There are 1,500 believed lost, out of over 2,200 on board.
Any names? What about the Astors?
Oh, and the Astors, oh, they acted quite nobly. Lady Astor was on deck, just 19 and expecting with child. A witness saw Lady Astor give up her shawl to wrap around an immigrant's baby in the icy cold night. The child, tossed into a lifeboat, was caught by a woman below and survived.
Did Mrs. Astor survive? What about her husband?
Oh, and Mr. Astor? He ordered a servant to fetch Madeline's fur coat and had her wear her finest jewels. Oh, then he lifted her onto a lifeboat. The sea is calm and you will be all right, he assured her. You are in good hands and I will meet you in the morning. But he never saw the dawn.
Oh, that's dreadful news.
He was a hero to the end. He helped two frightened immigrant children onto the lifeboats, then went to the ship's kennel to free the dogs. The last that Lady Astor saw of him, he was strolling across the deck with his beloved Airedale dog, Kitty, at his side.
And Mrs. Astor?
Her health was frail. She had a nurse on board. Yet she mustered her strength on the lifeboat, rowing and bailing out water. Why, she even helped to pull drowning men from the water, saving lives.
My God.
So she survived. What a remarkable woman.
Oh, and there's more big news this week. Arizona and New Mexico have been admitted to the Union. The first woman flew solo across the English Channel, and some British explorers just reached the South Pole. How's that?
Amazing. Thank you for sharing those news flashes. One thing about a tragedy like this, it should mean a safety overhaul for the industry. Why, I'll bet we'll never again see the day when a major ship goes down without enough lifeboats for all. Madam Schumann-Heinck, please accept my condolences on your loss. Say, isn't that the song they were playing when the Titanic was sinking? You should record that. I'll bet it would be a big hit.
Dateline, October 1912.
So, Wiley, how are you liking the book you're reading, Riders of the Purple Sage? Well, would you look at that? Our own Western writer, Owen Lister, just walked in. I'm going over to the telegraph office to see what's new.
Morning, Mr. Lister.
How do you fellas like that new Western writer, Zane Grey?
Well, he spins a fine tale, Mr. Lister, but then so do you. The Virginian you wrote is still my favorite. How's that new home you're building up the Grossmont Colony coming along?
Mighty fine. Say, do you have any news on how the Bull Moose campaign's shaping up for my good friend Teddy Roosevelt? Sounds like quite a matchup with Taft and Woodrow Wilson both in the race.
The former president is a friend of yours? How do you know him?
Oh, we go way back. Used to go camping together up in Yosemite, along with a fellow by the name of John Muir. Heard he's writing a book, too.
Stop the presses! Just came over the wire down at the telegraph office. Teddy Roosevelt has been shot.
Shot?
In Milwaukee. And wait till you hear what happened. He was outside the hotel because of his big speech when a saloon keeper ran up with a gun and shot him right in the chest. Roosevelt looked dazed, patted his breast pocket, then ascended onto the platform where he unbuttoned his overcoat and vest to reveal a blood-stained shirt. He pulls out a bloody stained folded up paper. Not even a bullet could stop the Bull Moose, who went on to begin his speech.
Give me
and
that.
He said,
I don't know the man who shot me tonight. He shot to kill me. Now I wish to say seriously to the speakers and newspapers representing the Republicans and Democratic and Socialist parties that they cannot, month in and month out, make the kind of slanderous, bitter, and malevolent assaults that they have made, and not expect that brutal and violent characters will be unaffected by it. Don't you pity me. I'm all right. And you cannot escape listening to my speech either. I ask you to look at our declaration and read our platform about social and industrial justice, and then, friends, vote for the progressive ticket!
So after his speech, they took him to the hospital, where the doctor said it was only a flesh wound. Good thing his eyesight was so poor. He had to write his speech in big print and use lots of paper.
Dateline, November 1912. Months without rain has worsened the drought, adding to the woes facing East County cattle ranchers. Mexican fever has stricken herds south of the border, leading local cattlemen to build a border fence to keep out those invaders from the south, cows and bulls.
Is it true you run classified ads in this here paper?
Yes, ma'am, we do.
Sugar, I need to find me some work.
What line of work are you in, Miss...
Delilah. I reckon you can say I specialize in services for gentlemen.
Oh.
Need a room to rent, too. You got any boarding houses in this little town?
Mary Fellows runs one, but I don't think it's the kind of place you're looking for.
Oh, dear.
Oh, why, Mrs. Stoddard, what brings you here today?
What's that
fallen woman doing here?
The name's Delilah, ma'am.
She's one of those sporting women who were rounded up by San Diego police when they raided the Stingaree District last night. It was quite a scandal. Some of San Diego's most upstanding city officials were among the clientele.
Definitely upstanding.
Oh, for goodness sake, I hear they caught the chief of police and the mayor in compromising positions.
Oh, what's your source, Mrs. Stoddard?
Our temperance ladies have been active participants on the city's vice suppression committee. The police arrested 138 of these women last night, gave them the choice to accept help from our group to reform or leave town. 137 of them hightailed it out of here, presumably back to their lives of sin.
How many men were arrested?
None.
Now, Miss Delilah, go on, get out of here. We have no houses of ill repute or saloons in La Mesa. Go try alcohol.
Thank you kindly. You ever need some help getting to the bottom of a story, Mr. News Editor, you come and see me.
Dateline, November 12th, 1912. Howdy, boys. Taking a break from working your claims out at the Chase Mine?
Tarnation! Can you believe what just happened in El Cajon?
Oh, what happened?
They voted to incorporate.
El Cajon, a city too?
They done made it illegal to own hogs or cattle in the city limits.
Oh, how awful.
And now first thing they done is to legislate morality.
How?
They banned horse racing down Main Street.
At least it'll be cleaner.
And now they're fixing to outlaw drinking liquor.
Now, wait a minute. That's going too far.
Where's a hard-working man supposed to wet his whistle when they close down all the saloons?
What is East County coming to?
This concludes our special production of Centennial Spirits. We thank the members of the East County Magazine Players, including representatives from Kronos Theater Group and the Faultline Players, our talented cast, Ted Falligan, Celeste Innocente, Raina Menashe, Eric George Tauber, Jackie Tauber, Leon Thompson, and Jeff Thurman. We also acknowledge music and sound effects from the U.S. Army Band, pdmusic.org, Sound Bible, Wildcat, Foley, Soundlay, and Burke. The script for Centennial Spirits was written by Miriam Raftery, directed by Raina Menashe, and produced by the East County Magazine Show and our parent nonprofit, the Heartland Coalition, on KNSJ Radio, 89.1 FM, Descanso. We also gratefully acknowledge our studio host, the San Diego Performance Academy. If you would like to underwrite future dramatic interpretations of East County history by the East County Magazine Players, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org or call us at 619-698-7617. We hope you've enjoyed this special production of Centennial Spirits.